Friends, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. So as you've seen, hopefully, with the banners and perhaps being here, our theme for throughout this Easter season has been go. We are sent out in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And last week we heard about go beyond boundaries, where we heard about Peter's struggles to learn that God was already working in and through people who were beyond the boundaries that Peter and the early Christians had imagined and understood for themselves. And today we follow in the footsteps of Paul, who took Peter's vision and he went beyond the boundaries and all around the known world at the time. Paul ends up in this scripture for today in the city of Lystra, which is just about in the middle and a little bit the southern end of modern Turkey. And there in Lystra, he showed people something extraordinary. The extraordinary. But what Paul told them about the extraordinary was so much different, so foreign than what they had expected. See, most people think, I think even today, most people think that if you want to be extraordinary, you just have to stop doing ordinary things. But Paul doesn't see it that way. Because the entire biblical narrative, everything that scriptures tell us, start to finish, shows us not that how to be extraordinary and putting away ordinary things, but that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things in the lives of others. The people in Lystra saw an extraordinary thing. Paul told a man who could not use his feet and had never walked in his life, just said, "Stand upright on your feet." And suddenly the man sprang up and he began to walk. It's amazing. It's an extraordinary thing. It's a miracle. But when Paul and Barnabas, where Paul and Barnabas understood this extraordinary thing as God's work, God's work working through them, the people in Lystra saw it, and they thought that Paul and Barnabas were so extraordinary themselves that they must be gods. How else could you explain it? And so they called Barnabas Zeus, and they called Paul Hermes, because in Greek mythology, Hermes was the messenger of the gods, the one who would speak to humans and act on behalf of the gods. The people of Lystra even brought gifts and sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas, or Hermes and Zeus. This wasn't necessarily unusual. In the far reaches of the Greek and Roman empires, see, the Greeks and the Romans, what they would do is they would see ordinary things in the world around them, and they would make gods either of them, of those ordinary things, or they would make gods in a way to explain their existence or their behavior. So that effectively what these gods become are nothing more than a reflection of those who named them, of those who shared these stories to try to explain and understand the world around them. One of the early Greek philosophers and mathematicians, I was actually just listening to a podcast about this yesterday, a guy named Pythagoras, and if you're a mathematician or if you're studying geometry, you've heard his name, right? The Pythagorean theorem, right? Judy's a mathematician, and Roy, they are all over there affirming, oh good, I got this right. The Pythagorean theory, for those of you who have heard this, but it is a useful theory even to this day. This was way back in 600 BC. But he also did something interesting in this philosophy as a Greek. What he did, he actually looked at ordinary things like numbers and understood those numbers to be gods. Yeah, numbers themselves became gods. And the reason that he could justify this by saying, you know, there you could have four mountains. You could have four mountains that eventually over time will crumble. They will be no more. But four itself, the number would be forever. The number will last on throughout eternity. And so Pythagoras saw that these ordinary things, even things like numbers, had extraordinary qualities and were like gods. So the people in Lystra are influenced by this way of thinking, and they see this extraordinary action from Paul and Barnabas, and they assume that they must be gods. Now, coming from a predominantly Jewish culture, Paul and Barnabas are confused, surprised, upset by all this, to say the very least. And so they cry out to the crowds, "Stop! We're mortals just like you are. We bring you good news that you should turn from these worthless things to the living God. Turn away from these worthless things," they say. "Turn to the living God." Paul wants them to reverse their way of thinking. Instead of looking at ordinary things and making them out to be gods, Paul wants them to see beyond those ordinary things, to see the extraordinary in the ordinary in a whole different way. He says that this living God he speaks of is the creator of all things. He made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in it. And he says, you know, in the past generations, God allowed all nations to follow their own ways. And yet God has not left himself without a witness in doing good, without a witness for us to understand who this God is, giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons and filling you with food and your hearts with joy. All of these ordinary things, rain and harvest, family and friends, hearts of joy, our very bodies that do amazing things when you think about it. All the things that we might take for granted that might in everyday life be kind of ordinary. Even people like Paul and Barnabas, who do amazing things. They're all ordinary, but have this extraordinary, living, loving God behind them, a God that is the creator of all things, a God, but also a God who continues creating and acting so that we can see the extraordinary, even in ordinary things around us. It's the message that we're sent out with when we hear "go." We are sent out from the Easter message. Go, because you have a God who loves you so much. He has died and been risen to life so that you have new life. Well, today in our worship, we heard a little bit about this in Kids in Christ Time. Our worship is full of examples where we can see the extraordinary in ordinary people and things. In just a moment, we're going to celebrate the baptism of El, who incidentally turns one today, right? A couple of extraordinary things going on in their lives. In this simple act of baptism, we use water that doesn't come from any special place. We use ordinary water, and yet this ordinary water does extraordinary things, bringing El into a life with God and with God's people that will remind her for her entire life that she is loved, she is forgiven, she belongs to God. Luther's Small Catechism asks the question, how can water, just plain old water, do such great, extraordinary things? And the answer comes, clearly, the water does not do it. But the Word of God, which is with and alongside the water, and faith, which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without the Word of God, the water is plain water, and it's not a baptism. But with the Word of God, we have a baptism. That is a grace-filled water of life and a bath of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. I think that we can answer all questions about how we can see the extraordinary in the ordinary in this same way that the Catechism explains baptism. For example, how could Paul do such amazing things as healing this man, of having him stand and walk who had never used his feet before? Clearly, as the Catechism says, Paul did not do it, but the Word of God, which was alongside Paul, and faith, which trusts this Word of God. For without the Word of God, Paul is just plain Paul. But with the Word of God, Paul did these amazing things. We're also going to welcome new members into the congregation today in worship. And when we do that, they affirm that same faith into which they were baptized. These are folks who have decided that in a way that they see perhaps extraordinary things happening in our community, in our shared ministry, and they want to commit to being a part of it. How can a community do such extraordinary things as we see happening in our life together or in our ministry as we share out in the broader community? How can a community do such extraordinary things? Well, as the Catechism says, clearly the community does not do anything. But together, new members and longtime members, from the youngest to the oldest, whether you're wealthy or poor, whether you think that you are extraordinary or whether you think you're just an ordinary person, God does these amazing things. The Word of God does these amazing things through a faith that trusts. And finally, at near the end of our worship, we will pray and bless not only us as pastors as we begin our sabbatical, but the entire congregation as we use this time to grow into the future together with God. Now, I have to admit, I've said this to a few of you over the last few weeks, as we've been sharing highs and lows in meetings and in our family, This day, actually, you know, you would think with all the time that we've spent preparing for it and all the excitement there is, this day has actually been sort of my low, because we have patterns for ourselves. Sabbath itself is a pattern. And it's a bit of a low to be able to need to say goodbye for now for a few months, but also through the Word of God, and the time that we'll be spending in the Word of God, we also know that it's going to be a bit of a high, a refreshment for us as pastors and for our community. And we're doing that in a way of you know, over the last several months, we have prepared the congregation, we have heard from the congregation, and we're putting together, we have these three major areas of our life together. And there are three dream teams that are going to continue to look at these areas while we're away on sabbatical. And Pastor Sonia and I will also be looking in these areas of service and discipleship and the possibility of some off-site ministry and how we can see the extraordinary in the ordinary in those three ways. Service, as we focus on serving our neighbors, on loving our neighbors as ourselves, and seeing extraordinary things happen through ordinary people and with ordinary people. And discipleship, as we focus on growing as disciples of Jesus, on growing in the Word of God and growing in faith through prayer and reading the Bible, and not just in a way of, not just with amazing studies, with all kinds of great techniques and tools here at the church, but in ordinary places, growing in faith in your homes, so that the extraordinary may shine through each and every one of our lives. And finally, we'll be looking at this last possibility of an offsite gathering or possibly a worship of some kind to help others in the community. Those who can't seem to break through the walls or into the community to be a part of what we have here, to hear the Word of God, to hear about this extraordinary God of grace. We'll be looking at exploring the possibility of doing that with gatherings throughout the community. In ordinary places. Maybe there'll be coffee shops or artist studios or restaurants or microbreweries. All of these things, all of these ways that we're looking at through sabbatical are ordinary. Ordinary people, ordinary things, ordinary places. But with the Word of God and faith, God will make extraordinary things happen. God will continue to live and breathe through us as individuals and as a community, because an extraordinary God of love, of new life, lies behind and beside and beneath everything ordinary. How will we make this happen? We will not, but the Word of God and faith that trusts that Word of God will make it happen. So I leave you with a writing that I came across by William Martin, who's a contemporary author who wrote a book of ancient advice for modern parents. Whether you're parents or not, this reading, I think, will carry meaning for us as we hear, as we look at the find the extraordinary in the ordinary. He writes, "Do not ask your children to strive for extraordinary lives. Such striving may seem admirable, but it is the way of foolishness. Help them instead to find the wonder and the marvel of an ordinary life. Show them the joy of tasting tomatoes and apples and pears. Show them how to cry when pets and people die. Show them the infinite pleasure in the touch of a hand. And make the ordinary come alive for them. The extraordinary will take care of itself. It is all around you. Go, see the extraordinary. Thanks be to God."